Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, coming at you live on a gorgeous day in Las Vegas. Also, coming at you live at 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. And every Tuesday and Thursday, I have this hour for the next hour, 3 to 4, for the capitalist evangelist warrior, Wayne Allen Root. And then he comes in, takes over his own show at 4 o'clock, and we do a segment and talk the talk, walk the walk, and rock the mic. And we rock the mic because we give you the truth. Each and every time we sit behind this mic, we want to make sure that we have an informed republic. Because there is a lot going on right now. And I have to tell you, I spent the weekend back in California. I am a California refugee. I always call myself that. I escaped the totalitarian state about close to 2 years now. It'll be in July. But I love going back and I love to visit. And I had a voter fraud meeting that I was a part of with plenty of county folks from around the state gathered at a private location, secret location, so we could compare notes and see what type of similarities were happening as far as around election time and primary time in between our two states. Because as I said, don't California my Nevada. I don't want to move again. And the same things that I saw in California as far as hijacking of the votes due to illegal immigration, due to laws, due to policies, due to corruption, crime, and graft are the same qualities I saw being duplicated here in Nevada. And so I was contacted by the organizer of this meeting, and I was able to attend. And it was a beautiful day there as well, and I spent some time at the beach. But yesterday, I got to visit, for the first time, believe it or not, ReaganBabe.com. That's my website. First time I visited the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. And if you haven't been to the library, it is, put it on your bucket list. It's a must go. You can drive there from Vegas, obviously Palm Springs. You can fly into Burbank, easy airport in and out. But I was lucky to have a great tour guide, a good friend of mine, and I was also lucky to have a beautiful day to visit. One of the most peaceful, inspirational, blessed places I have been to. And I've been to quite a few places in my life. But this one I really needed. I needed to go there not only to pay homage to President Ronald Reagan and his wife. I needed to go there because I needed an injection. I needed an injection of freedom, inspiration that Ronald Reagan provided for millions. He came along at a time which is very similar in many aspects to how Donald Trump came along at a time. And it was the malaise, the Carter malaise, gas lines, astronomical inflation, interest rates, high unemployment, high entitlement, a foreign policy that gave us 44 hostages over in Iran. And it was interesting because I'm walking through the library and it takes you through his very early days, his birthplace in Dixon, takes you through Rancho del Cielo and on to all of his accomplishments that he had achieved in his foreign policy, tear down this wall in Berlin. The Democrats had their way. I believe that wall probably still would have been standing because they certainly are building walls between us here, aren't they? And so I needed this inspiration because it reminded me of many things that he had done and many things that he had said during the time that he was president that united this country like we haven't seen in quite some time. And Donald Trump is trying to unite this country, but the press won't let him. Whatever he says, whatever he does, they tear it down, they flip it. They turn it into a thing of race. That he's acting as an isolationist, that he's acting as a racist, that he's acting as a brute force, as a dictator. But how so? He's only been in office for 50 days. And I don't understand this whole narrative that they are basically assassinating, the character assassination of Trump with. Because when you look at the Obama legacy of 8 years, how did he unite our country? He actually invited Black Lives Matter into the White House, and they are influential in creating policies for police. He talked about our institutional racism that exists in our country. Obama always took the opportunity to insult our country and Americans rather than uplift and unite our country as Americans. And I was looking through a book that I have, and I keep it on my desk, and it's called The Quotable Ronald Reagan. And the Democrats always want to talk about fairness. You know, Obama, it must be fair. You know, the rich must pay their fair share. Obamacare is fair, right? Obamacare was fair because people will now be getting care that they never received. That's fair. And Ronald Reagan said something about fairness. And he said, rebuilding prosperity is the true meaning of fairness and compassion. And as Donald Trump tries to rebuild prosperity by repealing Obamacare, and we'll get into that repeal after this next break, as he talks about rebuilding prosperity by bringing jobs back to America, as he talks about rebuilding prosperity from a 1.4%, I think it is, average GDP, no one's working. All the jobs that were created by Obama, were 94% of them were part-time. That isn't putting food on the table. And as Ronald Reagan said, all great change begins at the dinner table. So this rebuilding of prosperity seems to be the enemy of the press and the Democrat Party. Because they would rather keep the malaise of Obamacare, the malaise of the 1.4% GDP. They've normalized and mainstreamed failure, mediocrity, and lawlessness. And so as we look back, and as I looked back on Ronald Reagan's legacy while I was at his library, I was reminded by this quote: America's prosperity was not a gift from the government or anyone else. Free enterprise, not government, is the source from which our blessings flow. Good pay for good work, the ingenuity of man, the spirit of the American people are what is going to fix this country through the reduction of the administrative state. I'm watching the press and the Democrats scream about the downsizing of government. And as Trump came out over the weekend, I believe it was, he is pursuing a strategy that was very similar to, believe it or not, Bill Clinton. And this comes from FoxNews.com. In 1996, Bill Clinton gave a State of the Union address where it said, the era of big government is over. Can you imagine a Democrat saying that today? The era of big government is over. A report that same year from then-Vice President Al Gore touted the closing of 2,000 field offices as well as 200 programs and agencies across government. Hundreds of thousands of jobs were eliminated. Now, if you watch the Washington Post and you see how they're treating Trump's downsizing through his budget plan, where he is going to slash a bunch of different agencies, the Washington Post predicted Trump's budget will shake the federal government to its core, as it should. Government hasn't been shook up in quite some time. As a matter of fact, it's been expanded, and not just through Obama and his policies, but also through the Bush administration. The Minneapolis Star Tribune editorial, while echoing conservative concerns that the budget would not cut entitlements, which is the biggest drivers of the debt, warned Trump's plan to zap foreign aid would rob the State Department of its best leverage and greater instability in the world. No, we are an unstable nation now because of a 1.4% GDP. We are an unstable nation now because of foreign policies run amok. Or what was foreign policy under Barack Obama? It was to fight climate change. So once we restore prosperity here, we'll still be stable without a couple hundred thousand government jobs, without Obamacare, without government mandates. And we'll get to the Obamacare argument after this, because as you know, as you've listened to me before, I've been a skeptic of Paul Ryan, and as I've been told, no good conservative comes from Madison, Wisconsin. But I'll be coming at you live from Las Vegas after this break. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. And welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, coming at you live from Las Vegas, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, also live in Palm Springs, 98.1 FM in the Coachella Valley. And I met some people from Palm Springs this past weekend as well, so I hope you're listening, and I say a big hello. It was great to meet you. But you can reach out and talk to me anytime. You can find me, send me an email. I always learn so much from you guys, ReaganBabyUSA@gmail.com. And you can find that through ReaganBabe.com if you'd like. You can also tweet me, Reagan_baby, or go over to Facebook and find me on Facebook on my Reagan Baby fan page. Now, as I had opened this show, I told you I had been at the Reagan Library yesterday, and Reagan had warned us of socialized medicine and the takeover of our health care, destroying the relationship we had between our doctor and ourselves, where government bureaucrats get in the middle and decide based on eugenics and how old you are, whether or not you're going to get the red pill and the blue pill. Remember Obama's statement on that one? Well, if you're 80 years old, you just might have to bypass that heart surgery and take the red pill or the blue pill. Excuse me? How about I make my own healthcare decisions, pal? And this is the elitist mentality that the Democrats continue to embrace, but yet then call everybody else, either racists or ageists or misogynists because we have free market ideas. We don't believe in government handouts. We don't believe that a government bureaucrat should be in between our doctor and ourselves. We believe that we are empowered to make our own decisions when it comes to our life, our death, and that is our health care. So listen to how Chuck Schumer comes out, and he wants to talk about mercy. Like everyone's calling, of course, Trump care right now, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But he is claiming that there's no mercy in Trump care. Well, where was the mercy for the 8 million people that lost their doctor and their insurance plan that they were told no less than 42 times that they could keep by the former commander-in-chief Barack Obama? The architect Jonathan Gruber relied on the American people's stupidity to pass it, and Obama relied on American stupidity to lie 42 times to those 8 million people who lost their doctor. Where was the mercy for those 8 million people that got bumped? So let's listen to Chucky, shall we? Let's go to cut five.
The rich get $592 billion in tax cuts for the richest, compared to only $361 billion for the middle class and the working class to afford health care. So when Speaker Ryan says it's an act of mercy, yeah, for those people who make over $250,000 a year, because they get big tax cuts. The only winners in this CBO report are the health insurance executives and the wealthy Americans. Everyone else gets a cold shoulder from the Republicans in Congress and from President Trump. Now, you remember when President Trump was a candidate? He said everyone will be covered and costs will go down. We now know that he had no intention of keeping either promise. Today, the nonpartisan scorekeepers have spoken clearly. Trump care means higher costs for less coverage. The CBO report should be a knockout blow for Republicans in Congress. They should heed this warning and turn back from their plan that would be a disaster for the country.
They weren't worried about the disaster, which is Obamacare, which would actually implode under its own weight as insurers keep backing out. We have states now, counties in states that don't even have a choice, that can't even find a provider. They can't even find Obamacare. They have a card. They got a great Obamacare card that they got through the billion-dollar website, but they can't go see a doctor. So where's the mercy for those people? And then, of course, it all comes down to the rich, right? We have to make sure there's $500 billion getting in tax cuts for the rich over here, and then there's $300 billion for the middle class. Do you realize that that's $900 billion in tax cuts because Obamacare was a tax? It wasn't about health care. It was the largest tax increase passed on to small business owners and the American people like we have not seen before. So the 250,000, according to the Democrats, are the wealthy. No, that represents a lot of small businesses. And so $900 billion in tax cuts gone. And then all of a sudden, the Democrats want to rely on the CBO, which was completely wrong when it came to Obamacare in their first initial estimation, because I think it was 25, 30 million people were supposed to be enrolled, and that was supposed to pay for all the Medicare Medicaid expansion and all the flood of new people that were going to have health care. You know, they had to divide the pie. Well, the pie wasn't 25 million people. The pie is more like 10 million people with a bunch of cards that don't work anywhere. It's like having a demagnetized ATM card. You got one, but you can't use it. So where was the mercy for the small business owners when they rammed through Obamacare without a single Republican vote? And as they tried legislative trick after legislative trick and procedure after procedure run by Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, they tried to do the Slaughter Amendment. They tried to pass it, you know, on Christmas Eve. They tried to do the Nebraska Cornhusker Kickback, the Louisiana Purchase. And after that, Obama, in his, all of his gloat and glory, comes to the stage and says, the American people aren't worried about the process. I was worried about the process because you were ramming it through. And we knew it was bound to fail. And we have a couple options here. As conservatives, as Republicans, as Democrats, as the legislators, our legislator is considering the Congress, they could just let it fail. Let it fail. And then see how much mercy the Democrats have when it comes to that failure. And here's the thing. Everyone's like, well, you just can't leave people without health care. There's no more people on Obamacare than there was before Obamacare. And don't talk to me about SHIP, okay, which is the law which allows 26-year-olds to keep, you know, and stay on their parents' plan. That was never part of Obamacare. That was a separate law altogether. If you keep pre-existing conditions, it's a handful. So keep the pre-existing conditions. Let's do that. But the Medicaid expansion is what killed Obamacare. So we just have more takers on Medicaid. And guess who those takers are on Medicaid? They're not American citizens. A majority of Medicaid recipients are illegal immigrants. And so the conversation, instead of about mercy that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats don't want to have, is when the congressman from North Carolina, Joe, and I'll get his name in a minute, stood up in the middle of the State of the Union speech that Obama gave and said, when Obama said illegal immigrants won't qualify for Obamacare, he stood up and said, you lied. And he did lie. All he did was lie when it came to Obamacare, as well as some other things. But we are paying for a whole segment of population that should not even be here. So Obamacare was never designed to work. It was designed to fail because what they wanted was single payer. What they wanted was a complete control of the insurance market and the healthcare system. And that is what single payer provides. Do you know that one of the first things that Castro did when he was when he gained power in Cuba was to give all of the Cubans health care? How's that working out for them? So we need to remind many big government Republicans in Congress that we don't want big government solutions. Our party is centered around the principle of free markets. And once you institute free markets into the healthcare system, which free markets in healthcare haven't been there for at least 30 years, we aren't going to drive down the costs. And the cost is one of the greatest challenges to healthcare. How do you drive down the costs? You introduce competition. And Ryan wants to tell us, Paul Ryan wants to tell us that, well, that competition's going to come later. It's going to come like in part two or part three. Why can't it come now, Paul? And I keep hearing reconciliation. It's about reconciliation. You own the power of the purse. You own the power of the Senate. And you can determine what goes through and what doesn't. The free market, as far as being allowed to buy insurance across state lines, can you imagine once people get a taste that they can actually tailor their health insurance to what they need instead of what they're forced to buy? How they'll have that taste of freedom and prosperity. And I think you would see an explosion of people going, oh, I don't have to pay for a sex change operation in my health care insurance like I had to in California. Yeah. See, because it's called risk pools. And I was never going to have a sex change operation. Very proud woman here. And yes, I do believe in gender. It's not a fluid discussion. So we'll get back to this lady, Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, after this break on 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. And welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, live out of Las Vegas. Gorgeous day here. Hope you're having a gorgeous day, too, in Palm Springs, 98.1 FM in the Coachella Valley. So I checked breaking news on Drudge, Fox, et cetera, and the headline on Drudge caught my eye. And before I go to that headline and before I go to that article, I wanted to wrap up the last segment talking about the free market. And when you introduce the free market, you drive when you increase competition through the free market, you drive costs down. And that's one way you build prosperity and actually faith in the free market with the consumers of healthcare or whatever, what have you. Right. And in an address to the Cambridge Union Society in Cambridge, England, December 5th, 1990, Ronald Reagan said, once people who have been deprived of basic freedom taste a little of it, they want all of it. And so I caught some breaking news that, you know, Washington, that Trump and the White House are going to look at this bill and add an amendment to it in order to get it to pass through the Freedom Caucus and the conservatives that are screaming that, look, you know, if you want to repeal this, you really need to repeal this and replace it with more free market ideas out of the gate instead of round two or round three, which could turn into round four or five. Give consumers of healthcare, give Americans a taste of what the free market could be when it comes to their healthcare choices and decisions. And as I said about healthcare, you know, it expanded Medicaid. And Medicaid shot through the roof because of illegal immigration. Imagine the amount of Medicaid recipients that were put on, especially after the open borders policy of the last 8 years. So this Medicaid expansion hit doctors' offices, hit hospital rooms, or hit hospitals, hit emergency rooms. And then I go over to Drudge again and I see breaking news headline. It says the number of sanctuary cities near 500 in this country. 35 of them just happened to be in California. Another reason why I left. So this comes out of the Washington Times. Nearly 500 jurisdictions are now sanctuary cities. The Ohio Jobs and Justice Political Action Committee has added more than three dozen new cities and counties to its list in 2017 alone, as jurisdictions rush to try to shield illegal immigrants from what they expect to be a new push for deportations under Mr. Trump. Why are we protecting illegal behavior? that we're paying billions of dollars for. If you go to ReaganBabe.com, you will see my ITIN piece, which is an individual taxpayer identification number, which is only given to illegal immigrants who work because they don't have a stolen Social Security number yet or they haven't become a citizen. And this ITIN number in the refunds, you only, if you were an illegal immigrant, you only have to make $3,000 to get $20,000 in refunds through child care tax credits and dependency credits. You can claim, if you're an illegal immigrant, $3,000, and you can claim 20 dependents and get $1,000 per dependent. Now, if you are a dependent of an illegal alien, you do not have to be a citizen of the United States, nor do you have to even prove that you live here if you are from Mexico or Canada. Now, in refunds up to 2010, which is the last we could track, we paid $14.2 billion in refunds to people who don't even live here or don't have to prove that they exist. And now we have 500 jurisdictions in this country that are shielding illegal aliens. You know, when people are escaping to find freedom from third world countries, they don't want another third world environment, which Chicago, quite frankly, has turned into with the amount of homicides and the bloodshed and the gun running and the drugs and the crime. You'll find that in every sanctuary city. It's like our own no-go zones. Where is the sanctuary for legally abiding immigrants or citizens? Where is the sanctuary? And I caught this article on The Hill that I wanted to share with you because it comes from one of my favorite law enforcement officers in this country, Sheriff David Clark. From a law enforcement perspective, he summarizes this sanctuary canard quite well. It's entitled, Where is the Sanctuary for Our Citizens? And that's something I've been asking, not only just for our citizens, but those legal immigrants. He goes on to say, recently an illegal immigrant in Stamford, Connecticut, a sanctuary city, allegedly raped a 3-year-old girl. One state over, the grief-stricken families of teenage girls who were killed with machetes and baseball bats finally saw their illegal immigrant murderers indicted. 10 of the 15 arrested were in the country illegally. Against this backdrop, a group of non-compliant sanctuary city law enforcement executives signed a letter calling those who wish to enforce already existing immigration laws extremists. So not only are we extremists if we believe in lower taxes, if we believe in consumer-driven health care, if we believe in borders, if we believe that climate change is a bunch of bunk, but now we're extremists if we want law and order upheld, federal law and order. This is extreme to the quote the extremists on the left. He goes on to say, let's put the talking points away and have a serious discussion. This is Sheriff David Clark. The letter addressed to the U.S. Senate was a response to President Trump's January executive order threatening to withhold federal funds to those sanctuary cities that refused to comply with federal immigration law. Oh, and it does add to request of their own. They still want the federal funds. Of course they do. Who else is going to pay for it? He says, I was taught at a young age that you can't have your cake and eat it too, and that applies here. To be clear, what is being asked of police is no more than to hold illegal aliens, if they commit crimes or are subject to deportation, until immigration or ICE officials can take custody of the criminal illegal alien. So these chief law executives, the executives in law, crafted this letter and said, you know what, if the cops arrest a criminal illegal alien, we don't want them held until ICE can pick them up. So you're just going to send them out back on the streets? Yes. Why not? How is that not extreme? Sheriff David Clark goes on to say, as if they thought no one would notice the glaring inconsistency, the letter opens by repeating their commitment to the safety of their communities they serve. It's quite an impressive amount of gall for these letter signers to cite public safety as they give a hearty welcome to illegal immigrants, a savage criminality, and dangerous pasts a plus. The claim by these executives that holding arrested or convicted criminal illegal aliens will hurt community policing efforts in Latino communities is nothing more than an emotional and anecdotal claim with no substantiation. These executives, I would never hire them. Don't ask me how they're executive. These executives say that these policing efforts are going to hurt Latino communities. What about the communities like Stamford, Connecticut, where a three-year-old girl was raped? What about the other sanctuary city of the teenage girls who were killed with machetes and baseball bats? Do you think the Latino immigrants in these communities want this type of crime? Where's the mercy, as Chuck Schumer likes to talk about? Where is the mercy? And we're going to go to Bob and Elko on line two. Hi, Bob.
We appreciate you very much. God bless you. You're a super trooper. I want to tell you something extremely important, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and everybody listening, catch this. Number one, I don't want the government to have personal access to my medical records, regardless, they don't have any right to our personal medical records. Number two, all health workers must be screened and vetted critically, facial recognition, palm print, and maybe even DNA, and there should be a national database, because this is what's going on. Hold on. Medical jihad. They have been killing us. Don't hang up. They have been killing us in hospitals for a long time. And there's no doubt about it. Poisoning us, doing bad things to us. I know for 100% people that have been damaged, hurt, and destroyed from illegal aliens and criminals and globalists and Muslim terrorists that work inside our medical system. So number one, regarding this Obamacare and his medical stuff, listen, hospital security is a top priority. We must, number one, no illegal alien can ever work as a medical worker. You know, they can just run across the border with a fake ID, make up a name, Juanita Gonzalez, go to school for 6 months for free, and next thing you know, she's standing there hating us with a little suit on, a little badge, injecting our kids with who knows what. And you look it up. I'm not talking crazy. This is real. Because I was almost killed several times when I worked as an informant for the DEA by illegal aliens that had jobs in the medical facilities. And the FBI knows this, so I ain't afraid. I turned them in. I worked one time for a dentist office, and the guy was a Muslim drug dealer that hated Americans, and he created tremendous damage for a lot of people. So we need massive medical security. If you work as a medical person in this country, you got to pass screening, extreme vetting, and we have a national database, because a lot of hospitals, doctors, medical workers, their sleeper cells, there was a Salvadorian sleeper cell working in a hospital in L.A., and he was killing off people left and right. So anyway, we need massive medical ID. If you work for a doctor, a dentist, anywhere, you get facial recognition, palm print, and a national ID. So you can't kill somebody in Rhode Island and run over to L.A. and start working in a little hospital, plus our old folks' home. So we need to not only reform the payment method, we need to have strict security ID all the way to the pharmacies, because some of the pharmacies are funded by globalists, and your life is in their hands. So this person giving you and your kids medicine and giving you medical attention can literally take us out, and they have been taking us out. It's been classified as medical error. More people have been killed, murdered, hurt, and destroyed through medical errors in America than all the wars combined in the last 20 years. So we want the president, Mr. President Trump, we love you, dear. We want you to tighten up the security of all the hospitals, because you walk into L.A. years ago, about 15 years ago, I walked into L.A. with an injury, and they were out to get me, the gangbangers. You know, if you help law enforcement and you're against the gangs, you walk into some of these hospitals that are run by cartels, they're just going to take you out. All of a sudden, you'll be an accident. Nobody cares.
Well, so, Bob, I care, but we have to go to break. So I have to catch you. Thank you so much for your call. I can't talk about those statistics that Bob quoted, but I can talk about security. And we're going to talk about some security after this next break. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Stay tuned. And welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, coming at you live out of Las Vegas, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Also, 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. It's a big party. I encourage you, if you have something to say, call in. Wayne's going to be joining us and taking over his show at the 4 o'clock hour. I've had your ears for the last hour and dropping a dose of truth on your lap so you can pick it up and use it as we fight the institutional left. And I call them the institutionalized left because judging from their behavior, especially lately, we know that now the ACLU is funding and training those that want to resist the president. Resist. You know, and now they're forming these groups around the country, and I got in a little Twitter spat with one of the leaders of Indivisible. Now, if you go to like Indivisible and Google that, you'll see there's a whole host of they're kind of like the Tea Party answer, the progressive unhinged answer to the Tea Party. So there are these indivisible groups that are spouting up and around, and so you know, they were basically calling Dana Rohrabacher, who is my former representative out of California. He's in the Beach area, and Daryl Issa, who are two targets of the left in California. They're the only really conservative guys left there besides Tom McClintock. But anyway, they were calling them cowards for not having a, you know, a town hall so they could basically go riot at it and, you know, push women around, because that's what they usually do. They pick on the weaker. Always. They bully. And once you stand up to a bully, like I have plenty of times when I used to actually protest the protesters, they back down. But now they're going to be very well funded by the ACLU. And they're going to be trained to resist. And so as our congressmen go back home in April, they're only working 8 days next month. Really not sure why. But they're going to go back to the town halls and have town halls around the community. So just expect that if you're a conservative and or a Republican or even a Trump Democrat or just an engaged citizen and you want to go listen to your congressman speak, these protesters will be there and most likely shout the congressman down because they don't want to share ideas. They simply just want to resist. And we really don't. What are they resisting? I mean, they're obviously not resisting sanctuary cities where people like teenage girls get hacked up with machetes by illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. They're not resisting the fraudulent payouts that we've paid illegal alien workers to the tune of at least $14.2 billion up to 2010, which is now in the 20s of billions of dollars. They're not resisting. They certainly weren't out in force resisting the 16 terrorist attacks that were levied against us by Islamic extremists under Barack Obama. So what is it they are resisting? Law and order. So I believe that the law-abiding citizens are going to give them a run for the money. So you folks, you get ready to resist the resistors, especially in April. It's going to be a hot April for the left, and I'll be ringing it in with you every Tuesday and Thursday. Thanks again for your time. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Wayne Allen Root, the capitalist evangelist warrior, joins me next after this break on 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks.